Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Here we are with another edition of the Chicago Way, the Fall of the Republic edition, because your republic is falling. Jeff Carlin, Ace Producer, EP for Rokon and Ends of Atlantis, and Kristen McQuarrie, editorial board member, who just tells me that she has never seen an anchovy, let alone eaten an anchovy.
I haven't. It's a little, like a little hairy fish or something? I don't even really know what it
is. But they're perfect with the tomatoes I just gave you.
Okay.
Beautiful tomatoes.
Like, do they come in a can? Where do you buy anchovies?
You go to the island of Lesbos, and off the island of Lesbos, there's a place where the sea has the best anchovies. If you can't do that, then you just go to Greek or Italian market, get the full anchovies. The whole ones are about this long.
Oh, my gosh.
They're
are you
like
serious?
They're about 4 inches long, five. They're covered, packed in salt. You wash them off with vinegar. Didn't we talk about this?
No, you've talked about it before.
Wash them off with vinegar, soak them in oil, olive oil, and leave them soaking, covered for a couple days.
All right, I'm looking up anchovies right now.
Eat that with your crusty bread, your fresh John Cass tomatoes.
So they're salty,
give me a glass
right?
of arancina, and there you go.
Sounds
all
good
right.
to me.
Yeah. I'll do it. I am so excited about your tomatoes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Nice
but John brought us both, Jeff and I, a bag of homegrown tomatoes.
And Kristen brought in some carrot muffins from her garden.
That was a lie.
Carrots. That's
that
a lie?
That was a lie.
You're such
they're
a
from,
liar.
They're from Whole Foods. So you can rest assured they're organic.
They're kind of tiny, like you made them in an Easy Bake oven.
Exactly. I know. Nice. I did not make them. I was just trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Jeff, how are you celebrating the fall of the Republic?
I will be celebrating with some Casso tomatoes. What better way?
Oh, man, they're good, huh? I hope you like them.
No, I will.
Okay, and I need to be out there like this morning, like I do every morning before I write, because everything's so screwed up. And we'll get into it. How happy the Hillary people are that Trump basically threatened to have her killed, right? Because then it gets the Orlando shooter off the news. The whole thing is bizarre. The Republic has fallen apart. But then there's some sadness also besides the happiness. The sadness is Rod Blagojevich, who was in court this week and was told by Jim Zegel, stay in prison until 2024 because I'm not reducing your sentence. Regardless of your children's lamentations. Kristen?
Oh, I was tugging at my heartstrings yesterday, though. It really, I was not there, but I was, just watching. I mean, I almost got a little teared up at a tweet. I don't know what's wrong with me. But when his daughter said, like, she wished that she could stop growing up so that he could come back and be a part of her childhood. I mean,
Gunther Grass defense. Read The Tin Drum?
No.
Where the little boy decides to stay small throughout the rise of Hitler. He decides to stay small in the port city of Danzig. So he's like an old man, but he's, 2 feet tall.
Got it. No,
yeah,
that's...
It's a weird German expressionist thing.
I'm not suggesting that his sentence should have been reduced. I mean, they did toss five counts, so I thought maybe it would be reasonable for the judge to just shave a little bit off, maybe 2.5 years. But it does, he brought this on himself, but it was difficult to see the pain that he's caused his family.
Yeah, I pity the family, but I don't, Patty, I don't know, okay? On the other hand, I don't know. But, I mean, Patty got away with, she wasn't indicted, she wasn't charged, she could, might have been, it was getting close where we thought at one point there would be charges. Remember that while you were crying over the tweets, I was enjoying a fine lunch with some prominent Democrats who've been around for decades, and old-timer, the guys who know things, and they said, you know, here's what happened with Blago. He betrayed his father-in-law in public, the guy who brought him to the dance. And once that happened, Dick Mell, ward boss, 33rd Ward, once that happened, nobody trusted him, and he had to go to new guys. The new guys didn't understand the game. One of them was Chris Kelly, who ended up committing suicide.
Tragic. I mean, the whole story is just...
Isn't it?
Chris Kelly was his best friend. I believe they went to law school together, but, you know, they talked every day. They watched football together, their families on Sundays. And he was kind of the fixer in the administration. He was the guy who would make deals happen. He tried to get, he worked, you know, sort of in the shadows when they were trying to get a casino deal put together. And in the end, the Fed squeezed him. And he ended up drinking rat poison in a lumber yard parking lot and committing suicide. Terrible.
I visited that fly speck, weather-beaten boards, and basically fly poop on the windows. Here's another thing that's interesting. Great quote. I used it this week, the one that Franny Spielman got out of Dick Mell. I'm the old wife who worked with the guy and helped him get through college and pass all the tests.
And then got dumped.
And then, but yeah, I'm not the trophy wife. And
right. Well, right. It all started.
It was odd that he thought of him, that a ward boss would think of himself as the dutiful wife and not the trophy wife.
It's a little.
A guy who fishes in Costa Rica, forget
what. Right.
You know. No laughing. I heard somebody listening who laughed.
No laughing. I think it was the Tribune who first reported the purported shakedown scheme. That Dick Mell, you know, in getting back at Blagojevich because they were having family fights,
right, over the landfill.
It was over the landfill, exactly. And then Dick Mell basically admitted that Rod's administration was trying to get $25,000 campaign contributions from anyone he appointed to a board or commission.
Correct. It was
he
a
wanted
tribute.
A position
right.
on, you know, Health Facilities Planning Board or some of these other boards that do have some.
And that was Cellini some, stuff. He ran
right.
All
that was Stu Levine and all, and that whole group. And so, I mean, he was the Fed started sniffing around in, 2005? And he wasn't arrested until 2008. So it was a very long process. But I remember the day that he was arrested, I went down to the press conference that Patrick Fitzgerald had. You were there, too, John. And I remember asking the question at the end of all of this, because, of course, they laid out, you know, the reasons they arrested him and they didn't allow the scheme to play out. Of the Senate seat is because, you know, Patrick Fitzgerald did not want to be stand by and watch this crime unfold. He wanted to stop it. And I remember asking a question. How do you know that this is a criminal act and not just some guy spouting off in his living room? You know, because they didn't allow the furtherance of the act.
They didn't let it become consummated.
They didn't allow it to become consummated. But to me, that ended up being part of the reason they lost the first time when they tried him. Because there was no smoking gun. There was no transaction of cash. You know, he didn't enrich himself. He was basically running state government out of his family room. And
with a bunch of amateurs. Who didn't
with a bunch of amateurs and, you know, conducting state business by telephone.
Right. As opposed to going to Chinatown at 2 in the morning for spaghetti dinner. And doing it quietly. Talk about a landfill. Right? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that.
But not on the phone.
What you have to remember that he did, and the reason that he is serving a 14-year sentence, is that he leveraged state assets and government in order to further his political career and his campaign fund. He withheld money from Children's Hospital. He withheld money for a road transportation project.
He shook Children's Hospital down.
He shook people down. Right. And I remember I was so mad at him that day that he was arrested because he convinced... He talked incessantly about the firewall between his campaign side and the government side. I actually believed it. And then you find out there was absolutely no firewall. It was completely, these two operations were completely overlaid, and you didn't get government business unless you gave to his campaign fund.
Look, I got to tell you, I don't want to be governor for the next 2 years. I want to get going. This has been two fucking years where I'm doing the best I can trying to get through a brick wall and find ways around stuff, but it's like just screwing my family and time is passing me by and I'm stuck. It's no good. I gotta get moving. The whole world's passing me by and I'm stuck in the fucking job as governor now. Everybody's passing me by and I'm stuck.
Who's passing you by?
Everybody. I mean, we're struggling financially. okay? Her business got dried up because the Tribune's been writing about every one of her real estate clients. You know, I should have looked the other way in the landfill, and then my father-in-law would take care of us. I should have done that. Incidentally, he's making money on that thing against, you know, in violation of state law. I mean, you guys are telling me I just got to suck it up for 2 years and do nothing. Give this motherfucker his senator. Fuck him. For nothing? Fuck him.
Jeff and Kristen, the thing that I really was struck by was your laser-like seizing upon Fitzgerald's commentary about why he went so early. Because that's the thing that always bothered me. Besides the fact I want to know who leaked to the Tribune, and my colleagues won't tell me, about the Weimer wiretap, because you want to know whose interest was it to stop this thing? Because that's what it did. It stopped it, the leak, right, to us. The second thing was, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have reported it. I mean, that's what we do. We're in the news reporting business. But clearly there was fact there, and I wanted to know the motivation. And the other thing is what you brought up. Why, if I'm doing a drug deal, if I'm a cop, I heard Dan Prof talk about the day. If you're covering a drug deal, you want to see the money get exchanged and the guy saying, yes, thank you for the 10 pounds of whatever, cocaine and the two shrunken heads of my enemies or whatever they. Why not here? I never bought that. That's one of the things that bothered me.
I agree. I mean, the heavy hand of the federal government is scary. And if you listen to or read Robert Blagojevich's book, you know, he was also indicted, tried, and then completely all charges were dropped against him.
Right.
You know, they kept trying to squeeze him. So it does make me uncomfortable. And I always wonder if Patrick Fitzgerald, too, regrets not allowing the scheme to play out.
So who would have been jammed if they had allowed it to play out? He argued, if I'm not mistaken, and I can't seem to find my tape of it, and I can't seem to find any tape of it, Jeff Carlin, but that first news conference, when Blagojevich was arrested, everyone seized on the, oh, Lincoln's rolling over in his grave line, Fitzgerald said. However, there was another one, and it was about the constitutionality of the charge and the crime. He said something to the effect of, I did not want to have a constitutional crisis for a senator, a sitting senator, being charged by the administration. It's not political. I can't think of Fitzgerald as a political animal any more than I can think of Comey as a political animal. But the whole thing just...
Yeah.
Something's unanswered.
Well, and Jesse Jackson Jr., I mean, he eventually served time for spending, you know, he is someone who he did
what
enrich himself.
What?
He did enrich himself.
Yeah, and
he spent
still
his campaign funds on personal items. Well, he
Michael
and his
Jackson
wife,
stuff and Elkheads.
Yeah, everything except, I think, like a heart-shaped jacuzzi, basically.
But he's out of prison.
He's
still getting what, according to Catherine Skiba of the Tribune's Washington Bureau? Something like $80,000 or $90,000 a year pension?
Probably.
Though he was a federal crook. But where's Blago's pension for his kids? It comes from Dick Mell. You know, where's that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
It does. If the scheme had been allowed to play out, we likely would have seen Jesse Jackson Jr. and his cohorts getting charged. Because that's who that, you know, they had that one meeting
with the Indian
with Raghu
guys.
Nayak.
Right.
And that there was no furtherance of that discussion of how much they were going to pay for the seat.
Right.
But there was that discussion.
After they were having the discussion. The Weimer leak came. It was reported in the Tribune his FBI wiretaps his phones or whatever, his office. He's cooperating. And then no more discussion about the Senate money.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bringing it. And that whole crew... I don't want to make this an ethnic thing, but the whole crew, there's like an Indian, Pakistani, Devon Avenue, Jesse Jackson, George Ryan connection, you know, with government, guys who play. And it's just very interesting that, you know, those are the guys I want to know more about.
Right.
Because not the actors, not the meat puppets that are out in front. Is the Republic dying? I think so. It's dying every day. If Hillary wins, there will be a Washington Wall Street colossus in Washington as the rest of the country falls further and further away from that Leviathan. And that's a problem because the rest of the country, those people who are going to vote for Trump have been mocked incessantly by a media that now is clearly in their minds enthralled to the establishment. These are long-term problems as a gardener, as Chance the Gardener. I would tell you these are long-term problems for the health of the garden, especially when those roots have guns. And then what the heck happened in Orlando with, how do you say it, Kissimmee?
Kissimmee? Yes. Kissimmee. Mm-hmm.
What the heck? Sure. Okay, here's tell us what happened. Hillary's up there. She's having a rally. Who's behind her?
Oh, it happens to be none other than the father of the Orlando shooter, wearing a hat that looked kind of like a Donald Trump hat at first take, but it was actually a Mercedes-Benz hat.
Nice product placement.
Right, and then he took it off. So I'm thinking, A,
he knew,
or B, somebody came up to him and was like, could you take that hat off?
Also, he's sitting in prime real estate behind Hillary's shoulder.
Over her left shoulder.
So all the cameras are on those people. Those folks are selected by staffers. Cass, you're dark enough because you're kind of olive. Kristen, you're too white.
Yeah, nobody wants
move.
Me.
Jeff.
I bring no value.
I'm too hillbilly. The
Viking.
I look too hillbilly.
No, you totally look like a Danish Viking with a battle axe. And you know what I mean? We'll move people around, right?
Sure.
Right.
Little swarthy, little not. And this guy's right there, the shooter's daddy, the mass killer, the greatest mass killer in the history of our country next to the...
Greatest. I don't know if that's a
bizarre.
Term.
Well, not greatest. You know, next to the others.
Right.
Bizarre.
And what happens? He endorses her and says why he loves Hillary Clinton, and then she avoids it.
Well, thank you, Hillary. Thank you so much.
Secretary Clinton, should your campaign have known that Omar Mateen's father is at your campaign rally?
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
And then what happened after? Donald Trump goes, instead of just letting it play out, and all the Democrats are freaking out, all the Hillary people are freaking out on social media, Donald Trump goes and says perhaps the most stupid thing I've ever heard come out of his oafish mouth. And that was a suggestion, I guess you could say, that if you don't like Hillary Clinton, what? Wasn't there an implication that he...
Yeah.
Thought that the Second Amendment people should do something about it?
I need to know the context of how he arrived at the quote, but I'm starting to, you know, Donald Trump can't even make a joke, and I don't know the context of
right.
what he was saying,
right.
but you know, he does hour long rallies where there's a lot more time for someone to pick apart what he says versus Hillary Clinton, who won't even hold a press conference.
Correct.
So you know. Over the past 6 or 8 weeks, there have been various points where he makes a joke, like about the baby, you know.
But then now the baby's mom loves him.
It was funny.
Yeah,
he was not,
right,
you know,
right.
But of course that was a headline too, that Donald Trump hates babies or kicked a baby out of
his
rally. It was a joke.
Do you remember who was that stiff mannequin from the Marshall Fields ads? What was his name? Romney. Mitt Romney.
Oh.
Right? And he
Ken
for
Barbie.
Father's Day. Ken and Barbie.
Ken
loses to G.I. Joe
Ken.
In the fight for Barbie. And, he was the killer of his dog. Remember?
Oh, yes.
That was the story. So here's the thing, though. Okay, take what Trump said and what Hillary's not wanting to respond away. What concerns me is this, guys. That just from watching social media and talking to colleagues who are indifferent to one and thrilled over the other, it's as if they were happy. If, like, say, if Donald Trump made a joke about Hillary getting killed, they were thrilled that their candidate was perhaps in a joke about being killed, because it would take the Orlando thing out of the conversation. And that cynicism back and forth by both sides is what frightens me about the future of the Republic. That I'm happy. I was on social media fighting with some of our colleagues. Like, you know, I'm not going to mention names, but if you follow me on Facebook, you might see them. And we're back and forth on it. They were happy. They were happy that Hillary was going to get killed or threatened to be killed, because that way she didn't have to answer the question of why the shooter's dad is a Democrat endorsing her. What? Are you? Am I not? Maybe
no,
I am nuts.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Oh. It's just...
You're doing that mom side. I know my wife does that.
Come in and, this lamp's broken.
Yes, the eyes sort of close. A really deep sigh.
Maybe I'm crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
Okay, you want to add to this nonsense? What about Julian Assange? Did you hear this one?
No, I did not.
There was a staffer, DNC staffer, in Washington. You can hear the clicking of Christian's typing.
She's Googling,
Julian Assange. There was a staffer, and he was allegedly or thought to be one of the leaks on the WikiLeaks for the Democratic. He is killed in what is called a robbery in Washington, but his watch and his valuables weren't taken. He was just shot, murdered. You know, you've seen the movies.
I have.
And then, which is enough for the tinfoil hats, but then comes Julian Assange and Jeff, with the magic of audio, will insert it, on Dutch television, issues a $20,000 reward. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, $20,000 reward for the information leading to the arrest of the person who killed this staffer. This thing is beyond.
Gosh, this feels like House of Cards, right?
Either House of Cards or 24. Like, I'm on speed listening, watching 24 in a dark room by myself for 24 hours. What's going on, Jeff?
It's crazy. There's actually, you texted me this morning about the Assange thing, and I was reading it. And when I was reading it, I also came across another story which runs parallel to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Forbes piece, but it's the story about the Iranian physicist who is who is hung for his being a traitor.
That's the Iranian physicist who apparently showed up on Hillary's emails that were unsecured. He had left he had been in our country, come to our country voluntarily.
Well, there's questions.
Well, he said later, then was repatriated to Iran, saying, "I was kidnapped in Mecca."
Right.
But whatever his story, he was allowed to live after giving us information about their nuclear program. He went back there. A botched defection, because our people did not get his family out so he had to go back. And what happened to him? His body was sent to his mother.
Yeah.
He was hanged.
Sorry. Yeah, hanged.
That's a copy editor problem.
Yeah.
You know? No, don't fix all my leave my beds in and then leave your hung in. But anyway,
clean us up, Jeff Garland.
He's dead. What about it?
It's just, well, there's the theory behind it is that this guy was hung out to dry by Obama because they knew those emails had information and they knew there were correspondence talking about him, and that they allowed Hillary's emails in this situation to be released and not declassified that contained his information specifically. And they essentially sent him to his death.
Why did they want him dead?
Because he...
Jesus, is this the Art Bell show?
I know.
What is going on? I mean, I can't. What kind of conversation are we
having? Can we just talk about tomatoes again?
NRA issue in the Second Amendment, but what he's getting heat for is the comment they made about the Second Amendment. Terry Clinton, your thoughts?
I think this is such garbage, it's unbelievable. And, of course, what happens is a reporter runs up to Paul Ryan, gives him the reporter's version, and given him the reporter's version, Ryan then responds. Every Republican should learn this will be the most decisively one-sided news coverage in American history, and that you can assume every day the people are going to take Trump on and are going to try to distort what he said. I saw what he said. I read what he said. I thought the coverage the first couple hours was an absurdity. And then they, of course, spent the last 24 hours on it. By the way, if you look at what Strickland said, which is clear on tape, and which he said to a huge audience about being happy that Scalia died, it is pretty bizarre by comparison.
Well, as you might imagine, the Democrats, many of them are scandalized and giving him a lot of heat. And to be fair and balanced, here's what happened in 2008 when Secretary Clinton was running against then-Senator Obama for the nomination. And this is what she said.
My husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June, right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California.
Ouch. She got a lot of heat then because the implication was that she should stay in the race in case President then-Senator Obama were assassinated.
Well, again, I think that's I suspect she was in a stream of consciousness memory. I don't think she was suggesting that Barack Obama was going to get assassinated.
But we all jump on it.
Of course. The news media is always going to jump. This is a year when they're going to jump 80 or 90% of the time on Donald Trump and 5 or 10% of the time on Hillary Clinton. And we just have to understand that's the business we're going to be in for the next 90 days.
All right. Well, let's bring in now President Obama. Today, John Cass, who is a columnist with the Chicago Tribune, tweeted this. Obama also joked about rubbing out his opponents the Chicago way. If they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun. Obama, Philly, 2008. So they all say it. They all do it.
They all do it. By the way, as long as we're going to talk about Chicago for 1 second, 9 people were killed in Chicago on Monday. This president has had over 3,400 people killed in his hometown since he was sworn in, more than we've lost in Iraq and Afghanistan in the same period. Nobody does anything. Nobody talks about it. It's Hillary Clinton's birthplace. She was born in Chicago. Nobody goes and says, we have got to find a fundamental change. This is about real killings, not about rhetorical language.
And, of course, there's the story that we reported on yesterday where there are gang snipers apparently wanting to kill a cop in Chicago.
Yep.
Hey, Kristen and Jeff, do you guys know my new hobby?
What's that, John?
How to set a liberal's hair on fire. You know what it smells like? It kind of smells like Republican hair, except with, it's almost the same kind of burning hair. It smells like...
patchouli oil?
No, not patchouli. It smells more like anxiety and righteousness.
Mm. It's
really terrible.
And this is not chia pet hair.
No, this is real hair.
Real hair, okay.
It was the experiment I did the other day and writing about it this week. After the Trump contretemps about the Second Amendment and people were saying how he wants to kill Hillary and everything, I found a quote from Barack Obama and put it on Twitter where he joked about rubbing out his... What does it say? Do you have it up?
I do. So this was your tweet. Obama also joked about rubbing out his opponents, hashtag the Chicago way. And the quote was, if they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun. Obama, Philly, 2008.
That's right. He said it in 2008. There used to be audio of it on the internet. So mysteriously, it's all gone. The NSA probably took it down. But the point being, but the point being that the New York Times and other news organizations were there to quote it. I put it out on Twitter. It went crazy. After that was over, a priest friend of mine, after they saw it on the... I was writing a column about hate crimes against Greeks over the venduzas, or what they call cupping, and my kids called me and they said, oh, we heard you're on TV. Then I got a call from, or it was on Facebook, friends of mine who were not political, who just watched different shows, saw it. They put it on Facebook that it was on the... Greta, what is that show?
Van Susteren.
Greta Van Susteren program on Fox.
And it was posted to the Fox Insider blog, which is like they have millennial producers posting the best stories or like the best snippets of shows that they think is most provocative.
Provocative, yeah. So I guess that was provocative. Not as provocative as Hillary Clinton saying that she had to stay in the race in 2008 in case Barack got assassinated. That was another...
Which they mentioned.
They mentioned both. I tweeted both. The point being that a priest puts it on his Facebook, a friend of mine, Father John.
Just saying, hey, congrats, John. I hear you're on TV or something.
Exactly. Just like that. Like, hey, John, you're on national TV or something. And trolls from the Hillary people came over and started ripping on him.
Oh, man.
On a priest's Facebook page.
Is he in his collar? Like, do they know that it was a priest?
It says Father John.
Okay. Ooh.
You know, I mean, it's not like he's
a stage name.
A good guy. I mean, he's not that political in that sense. People were saying, oh, we know that you don't pay taxes. Why are you making political stuff like that?
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking, jeez. I went on, and I didn't want to argue with the guy on the priest's faith, but I said, you're beneath contempt, Dick so forth, whatever his name is. It's Dick something. I don't want to give him
You weren't
name.
Referencing. You weren't
No, no, no.
Saying,
that was just
okay.
his
You
his
weren't
name.
Getting vulgar.
Oh, please.
No, I know.
Come on, I don't talk like that. And it was a priest's webpage, Facebook page.
Right.
The point being... How crazy are people that they're going to go? They're so mad that, Obama could say something like that? Is that wrong of me? Was it a false equivalency? Tell me.
No.
That's what all my liberal friends are saying.
This is what happens when you are, 2 months out, basically, 2.5 from Election Day, and everyone is amped up and everyone is chaotic and passionate. Facebook pages, as you know, are just full of political commentary.
What do we do about that? Do we get out of Facebook? Or I put up a thing of tomatoes. I called it the Boys of Summer. Yeah. Picture tomatoes today. Do we have to just get away from the politics on Facebook?
I think so. I have two Facebook pages, and one is just more personal, and I don't put anything political on that page. And the other page, I just post Tribune columns and things that I write. So I don't see a lot of political news in my feed because I'm mostly just friends on Facebook with
my
gals.
So you're the Kristen friends page, and then you have what I hate to call this fan page because I have.
Oh, is it a fan page? I don't even know. Probably.
I don't know. So, the Tribune set up
public
too.
Figure page. I mean,
whatever they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, it's a fan page.
I'm some stupid big shot.
Well, I don't have very many fans then. I only have.
You
know,
come on, Kristen. You know what I mean. I hate to use the. It's like I'm talking big.
Yes.
I don't want to talk.
Well, because you have two pages as well.
That's what I mean. So
but
I think.
How do you use yours?
Just John's not sure.
People, you know what?
Just messes
okay,
around
kiddo.
With them.
People like to get. It's funny. They want to be on the friends page to talk stuff rather than the other one. Mm-hmm. The other one's open to everyone. I think both of them are. I don't even have any settings. They're all public, everything.
One of them's full. Like your actual friends page, like it's you've maxed out your friends.
I think so,
because
yeah.
I remember there was like a waiting list when I was at another station we were at, and people we worked with were like, John, why won't you accept my friend request? And
I didn't even know they were asking.
Right,
that.
I know. And so I went and looked at it, and it was because they got blocked because they just were too many friends already. John had too many friends.
On
that one.
Right, that's your friend, your
but
personal
page. But you can
page.
Still go on there.
Yeah, you can still see it.
And you can
comment.
React.
Yeah.
Because you have your privacy settings where it's public. I have mine on my friends page set where we have to be friends. I have to approve you. Because it's pictures of my kids and
yeah, I know, right?
That kind of stuff.
I know. But anyway, going on a priest's...
Ugh.
What is going – and you know what? Okay, what Trump said was stupid, right?
Yes.
I think, right? It was uncool. But you know what? If what Hillary said was, I have to stay in the race in 2008 because if Brock might get – because we all know what happened to Bobby Kennedy, she said.
Oh, goodness.
Are you kidding? And then Obama with his Sean Connery, Chicago way.
Yeah, that's
what's the difference?
Right.
What difference at this point does it make?
What difference at this point does it make? I just think people are getting so wound up over just flippant remarks. I went back and watched exactly what Trump said, and I'm sorry, he was making a joke, and I'm just
it's a
tired
bad
of
joke.
Everybody getting. It was a bad joke. It was not appropriate for a presidential nominee to say something like that. But it's just like with the baby and kicking out the baby out of the rally and all of that. If you actually go back and stop reading the headlines and actually watch him speak, he's just trying to entertain.
Jeff, do you think there are any larger issues in this?
Yeah, I think.
What are they?
Well, I think we talked to him.
Not on the election. I guess on the election, but on this attitude.
Right. I think we... One, to Kristen's point, I think it's interesting because I don't think Trump does it on accident. I don't think there's any accidents when it comes to saying stuff like that. That's who he is. He knows that his persona is going to rile up the media. He's going to get coverage, and that's just how it is for him. He knows. So he's not going to change. I mean, why would you ask a guy to say, oh, stop saying things that's going to go crazy in the media if you know it's going to get coverage?
He's limited, a person of limited scope.
Yeah.
And speaks that way.
He does. I mean, I don't think he's rehearsing what he's saying. I think he is speaking extemporaneously. He speaks for an hour. There's no teleprompter, and I'm not saying that's wise, right? But when he cracks these little jokes, I think he just feels like he's in a room in his boardroom with his buddies,
right?
And he's not on this world stage now.
There's a large to me. The issue is besides all that, which are all valid points both of you make. There's this shaming business. You know, it was the left's idea at first to shame people. They don't shame the idea. They shame the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's done in the media. Where we work, every day I see a million examples of the left shaming someone for daring to think, maybe I could go with Trump, not because I like him, but because of the idea. So this is McCarthyism now on the left. But now we're seeing it among Republicans, too. The never-Trumpers. Who are terrified of losing their positions if Trump gets in, and those who think long-term in terms of the nature of federalism, the nature of the states, 40 years of a liberal Supreme Court, all the regulations that that Obama has put in, doubling those of President Bush, I think he's up to 860, federal laws that his bureaucracy make. All these in terms of the push and pull between federalism and democratic big governmentism. Mm-hmm. These are important issues, but they're being covered and papered over by this ritual of personal shaming on mm-hmm. all these sides.
It's the anonymity that lends itself to that, at least on Facebook, because we've had to do this at the Tribune, where we rejiggered our comments section, mm-hmm. because if you allow people to just post anonymously, it gets ruthless. I mean, they just get ruthless.
Come on my
Facebook
page, so
cowardly. It's so cowardly. If you have a strong opinion about something, and I see this a lot on Twitter, I've had to block, as you know, for a column I wrote last year that mm-hmm. where I used a metaphor for Hurricane Katrina that was not well received and probably
stigmata has gone off the palms.
Well,
okay?
I still
you're
get
down from the cross. Though. Okay,
I'm still on the cross in some.
They
circles.
Can go to hell too. Those people. You know what? If you're listening, you little trolls, you make me ill. Okay, you do, Kristen. Thing. You wrote what you wrote. Let it go.
Yeah, I think I've moved on. I've written. You know, a column every other week since then. But I've experienced it. And it is just so cowardly when these people create accounts where they don't have to put their name on anything. And you and I, as journalists, have to put our name on everything.
You don't know who they are. I'd say, Jeff, do you think that they're anonymous partisans working for, like, that weird treacly-faced guy that runs the Hillary campaign thing?
What's his name?
They have trolls.
Yeah,
they pay trolls. They pay armies of them.
I'm sure that there's certainly some of them for sure. But it's also just the nature of it, the anonymity. I mean, you don't need to be paid to be a jerk. People are just jerks naturally.
If you take those cowards, insects, I call them cockroaches, aside, the other issue of shaming with people who actually put their names on their stuff is becoming profound. There will be Trump is the real transformational agent now. I see some of these never-Trumpers, the so-called conservatives, but really they were supportive of big government conservatives of Bush years, and the neocons are all going to Hillary. These people are saying to the others, like to the Dennis Pragers and so forth, the people who are practical, federalism, they're shaming them to the point where I don't know if they can, these divisions can ever be repaired. The Wall Street Journal, I was listening to the Prager show, the Wall Street Journal's editorial board is riven by this, and I don't know how we get back from it.
I mean, compromise and level-headedness and reasonableness is just not valued anymore. People want someone, they want the shouting matches. It's what all of our cable television shows have, you know, turned into, two people split screen shouting at each other. So our tolerance for it is just through the roof. You know, there's just nothing gentlemanly about the way we carry out our politics.
So can we disagree politically as Americans and not hate each other? Or are we now, because I think the left had so much success in the last 20, 30 years, and the right too, of shaming, but they did it with patriotism, that we can't even have a conversation as a country without being accused of being a communist or, you know, like the
McCarthyism. Why'd you point at me, John?
Thing. No, I'm raising my hand because my other hand hurts from all the tomatoes I've been pulling down from the vine.
Oh, my gosh. You're getting like carpal tunnel from your tomato picking?
I have so much carpal tunnel now. I'm walking around in mittens.
Yeah,
I can't
I've
even
kind of struggled with it on and off, but I've been able.
Do you have those things you sleep in, like little mittens?
I don't sleep in the mittens, but I do like stretching exercises because really I'm sitting at my desk, you know, 8 hours a day typing.
Isn't that like so tough compared to like some guys, poor guys,
right,
like grinding meat in a freezer,
breaking,
you know,
up concrete.
Gosh,
yeah,
it is
breaking
carpal tunnel.
I'm sitting and then I'm wondering,
the disease of the wimps,
should I have
for
two?
Sure.
Should I have two with my iced tea shaken lemonade? Should I have two squirts of sugar water or
we have
three?
First world problems over here for
yeah,
sure. One of my first world problems every day is deciding where I'm going to go to lunch. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it's true. What do I feel like eating today?
Do we live in a food desert here down on North Michigan Avenue?
No.
We have the food trucks, but I never see Kristen at the food trucks.
I went to
I've
one of
never
the food
seen
trucks.
Kristen eat.
Oh, gosh.
She's
I love
one of those
to
girls
eat.
That don't eat.
No,
no.
I think
women.
About food constantly.
Hey, that reminds me, Kristen. I saw on your, speaking of Facebook earlier, but I saw you are adopting a cat.
What is that?
And you have a very nice kitchen, it looks like. That's what
Oh, thanks.
Is that weird that people do look at your kitchen? Not that
No, I mean, I cleaned it up before I posted the picture.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm not going to put like dirty dishes all over my kitchen and then put that up. This feral cat has been visiting me since last fall. Will not let me get near it.
No wonder my eyes are red. Okay.
Your allergies
already. Oh, my God.
I don't touch the cat. The cat will not allow me to touch it. But she's kind of grown on me. She shows up every morning when I'm making my coffee. I'm buying cat food now, feeding her.
Is she in your house?
No, she will barely come in the door.
Do you want to do this podcast with Steve Dale now? Because he's one of these you people. Songbird slaughter
warned.
Enablers.
I was warned that you were going to go after me for.
I'm sorry, Brian, but I love it.
New feline friend.
Do you know that your cat? Do not let it inside, because if you do, what will happen?
It will tear up all my furniture, and I'm actually allergic to cats, so that the cat is probably not going. I just say probably not going to come inside.
The
but
kids
it survived
like
the
cat?
Winter. I mean, sort
oh,
of.
Jesus. They'd... Okay, mommy, we love the kitty.
It's her name's Kitty. Like, Miss Kitty's here.
Just
That's
so you
what
know
I
about
say.
Miss Kitty.
Miss Here's, Kitty.
Miss Kitty, go to Nick. Take a nap, like outside, like on a hammock. I'm just imagining your hammock that I don't know if your cat will sit next to you.
On the ground?
You're on the hammock. It'll sit next to you on the ground, or maybe jump up on you
when
you're asleep. And he'll start purring, or she will purr. And then comes the magical time. It's so magical when they suck the soul from your body. Because all cats do this.
Miss Kitty,
no, they
Miss
don't.
Kitty
People without with cats do not have souls. Everybody knows this. They walk around kind of like the Bronte sisters in a dark home.
This line of thinking is the same reason people think cupping is Chinese, John.
Why?
Because it's mythology.
That cats suck your soul out of your body? Yeah. That's not mythology. Everybody knows this, Jeff. Oh, my God. And you call yourself a man of science?
You know, Miss Kitty is pretty rude. You know, I feed her, and then sometimes she's so excited to get the food, she'll hiss at me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then she'll meow in almost cry waiting for the milk, because I give her milk, too. I don't know if you're supposed to do
they
that.
Don't like, it's not good for them.
It's not?
No, it's bad lactate.
And then she leaves.
Like, not almond? Even a thank you.
Can you go out and get some almond milk?
Don't give a
Maybe
cat almond milk.
Milk. Why not?
Start giving her.
I think
some...
you're confusing them with Californians.
Or some, but goat's milk. You goat's get milk. Like, but the fresh organic goat's milk. It's only like $6 a pint.
Sure, Miss Kitty.
No, you
needs
get dried goat's
milk.
You get dehydrated goat's milk.
Well, check
cat...
you out. Here's how weird you are, Mr. Carlin. You thought this out.
No, not weird. This is just knowledge. When we were at the other station, we used to get packages. For
the one that fired me.
Right. We used to get packages for a certain unnamed host.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they would get like animal-themed packages, and it would be like a package of dried goat's milk. Hey, try this. Can you talk about this? This sort of thing.
How come I never got any of that? What did I get? An atomic cake from Weber's?
The
Don't Tread
I
on
get
Me
swag.
Cake? That was pretty cool.
Atomic cake from Weber's. Mm-hmm. They sent one. What else? Some Coppers did, I think.
Yeah, and there was that Don't Tread on Me had on the top of it.
Yeah, Don't Tread on Me.
I used to listen to that other station, and I was always jealous when you would be talking about a restaurant or something, and they would come in and prepare food, and you would drink on the air.
We still do that.
Yeah, they do it on the Roe Show.
It's true.
I thought it was fake. 5 o'clock.
It's true.
No, it's
Wait,
real.
Wait, you've been there. You've been on that show.
Yes.
What have you had? All right, on the Roe Show, the Carnarvon Wagon, we know the history. What have you had?
So I've had a vodka and soda, and the day that we had, we were trying a dollar steak, from the dollar store sells steak, and so we had this chef come in and taste it, and it was not tasty, but they made us margaritas, delicious, you know,
what
fresh
kind?
Squeezed
Regular,
lime,
real margaritas,
Patron, fresh squeezed lime, a little bit of simple syrup, and salt on the rim. That's all I need.
Oh, not grenadine? That's not part of it?
No.
I don't know what's in the margarita.
No grenadine. And we did, we started drinking at 5, and I think we had 2 more hours left. So you got to be sort of careful by the end of the show, because you're getting into that creative space where you might say something that you're not supposed to.
Kind of like we do here, like when you cut loose with one.
I know. Well,
remember?
I did say a bad word. I know.
She did
he scolded me.
We were completely sober.
That was great.
I don't know.
I don't know why we do this show sober.
Do they have
Let's
a barman?
That.
Does Roe have a man in a white? Do you wear like a white jacket?
No,
why not?
because I don't get paid to wear it.
Are you the drink preparer?
Well, so at the old place I used to be, but now we actually we can convince restaurants to come in. So
they come in for are you kidding for Ro's show?
That yeah, I just mean like a regular Carnarvon Wagon Friday.
Yeah, it's always usually a restaurant. Like yesterday it was Ro's off some of this week. So when we're taping this, so yesterday we did an impromptu. Rosebud came in, brought some steaks, some cocktails.
Really? Did that old guy named Joe come in too?
No.
He sits in a booth.
Yeah, just as chefs.
Really? Oh.
Fantastic. We need to get one of those shows, John Cass.
We can't take that because we are Tribune. We can't accept.
We could accept
like
a martini, just one.
You don't have to say it was the greatest martini in the world. You just have to drink it.
So. Yeah, right.
Be sort of like we're at Gene and Georgetti's, except
no commentary.
We should do our podcast at Gene and Georgetti's.
Yeah, let's do
that. Everyone would hate that. They don't even like it when you write about it. They like you can write about the restaurant, but you can't, you know.
We'd have to do it at the one in Rosemont because they're pushing that one pretty hard.
Are they?
Yeah.
I saw George Ryan recently the last time I was at Gene and Georgetti's having his birthday party, former governor.
Yeah. Huh.
You always run into some big wig there. You know, like John Cass.
Who's sitting on his lap? Jim Thompson and Dan Webb. Dan Webb was sitting on his lap, and it was like ruffling his hair. Hey, Daddy, how are you? Did you get Rich Daly's kid off there?
Frighteningly good impression.
Terrifying. I'm going to have nightmares.
Van Alcohol or something.
I actually didn't recognize a lot. I didn't recognize the guys at the table. And he has aged quite a bit. You know, he's... What, in his upper 80s?
The best was when he did, when Phil Graham, Senator Phil Graham, was testifying about George Ryan. And there's something about somebody accused somebody about prostitute. And then George Ryan had to respond in the lobby and said something like, I'm not a prostitute.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a prostitute. And I was thinking of that Dan Aykroyd bit, like, George Ryan, male prostitute. You know, did he do that? Didn't Dan Aykroyd do like some male prostitute thing on Saturday Night Live?
Gigolo.
I'm Gigolo. I'll make soup for Mike Sneed. Me and Mike Sneed will make some soup. Potato leek, yeah.
It's a really good imitation.
John, your imitation.
Freaky.
I'm kind
of
like that.
It's the side of you I haven't really seen a lot of.
John Cass does George Ryan.
That's easy. We're both beef eaters. Sit around drinking gin all day at Gene's. Dan Rostenkowski was here. Well, he's dead, but still, I can see him. Like that?
Yeah. It's kind of trailed into like almost a George Bush. Like
I was kind of going cowboy, more like a Wilford Brimley oatmeal, George Ryan.
Right.
Or selling insurance.
Yeah.
Well, we got to have a drink, okay?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's tape the show. And
all right.
Next time we'll imbibe.
Let's go have a drink in the food desert that is North Michigan Avenue. We'll talk about this next time on another edition of the Chicago Way.